Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
From the Command Center, Episode 10.
Welcome to a collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. It's From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 10. Of course, I'm Scotty Cash, and joining me from the Geekcast Radio Network is my boy, TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
There we go. What's going on?
Oh, not much. This intro for episode 10 is pretty much all Power Rangers talk. It's no Madden Collector rants or anything like that, even though that company sucks. All right, so after last month, after we finished the In Space record, we completely spaced on a lot of stuff. The one thing I wanted to bring up that we didn't really was the whole relationship between Andros and Ashley.
I thought that was
really well done, but it didn't really go anywhere. It was like, will they, won't they? And it was finally to the point where, oh, they're going to hold hands or, oh, they're going to kiss and whatever else, but it didn't really go anywhere. I did like that as a part of the overall story of Space. But our buddy from the PCN forums, Chaotix, had posted in the From the Command Center announcement thread that I have going over there as far as thoughts on last episode. Great episode, guys. Love hearing my thoughts at the end. Thanks for including them. Scotty, RPM doesn't get good at the middle. It's awesome from the beginning. You must have been doing something wrong. I'm sure you'll wise up when you rewatch it and see how amazing it is, or at the very least, TFG and Mike can correct you on how amazing it is during the discussion in form of heated argument. Mm-hmm. Well, I have never seen RPM. I've heard tons of good things about it, so I don't know. I'm waiting until we get there.
Right. Well, I do. What I remember from RPM is being excited for it, even though it was going to be cars and stuff, and I was like, you know, lame because I don't want to see car Power Rangers or spaceship Power Rangers because I want to see animals or dinosaurs. Well, when I started watching RPM from the get-go, it was cool. I liked the Rangers. I liked the Black Ranger. You know, I liked how they had the numbers. I liked how his car was different. He was kind of an outcast. And then they got the goofy Green Ranger that was kind of like even worse Billy. You know how when Billy first came around, he was like accidentally kicking people's butts?
Yeah.
Well, this is how the green guy is constantly, and I'm just like, oh, this is stupid.
Oh my God.
I stopped watching it, but I will definitely give it another shot when it comes time.
That's hilarious. Also, a couple of quick bits of knowledge for your informing pleasure. Number one, the reason Zane disappeared randomly to help the colony and didn't appear often is because his Sentai counterpart didn't appear that often either. He only appeared in 21 out of the 51 Mega Ranger episodes. Due to problems staying transformed due to prototype changer, his responsibilities as an iNet chief, and other associated hijinks. The Silver Ranger did originate in Mega Ranger, the show In Space was based on. He was not from another Sentai season.
Was that your RPM?
I guess.
All right, RPM go.
Yes. Number two, and Chaotix and I have already discussed this, but number two is Ron Wasserman, the original PR theme composer, left after InSpace and was replaced by other artists for every season after that until he returned in Power Rangers SPD. His awesome theme song is one of the reasons why I love SPD so much. He was originally planned to provide the theme for Power Rangers Mystic Force as well, but after Disney changed their mind on what kind of theme they wanted, a rap theme instead of a rock theme, and Ron put his Mystic Force demos, both original rock version and the theme and the rap version he created after Disney suggested changing the style, up for free download on his site. He was replaced. Ron didn't return for Mystic Force, Overdrive, or any season after that. Believe me, if he did return for Overdrive, the theme song wouldn't be as horrible as it is. Just wait till you hear it. Simply put, blah.
For which one? For the Mystic Force?
No, Overdrive.
Overdrive.
Yeah, Overdrive. That's
the next one, right?
No. Overdrive was in between Mystic Force and RPM. Oh man, now I gotta look up the schedule because I don't want people trying to correct me on this. Open documents. This is an edit point for myself because no one wants to hear this bullshit. Schedule of episodes. It goes. Overdrive was in between Mystic Force and Jungle Fury. It goes SPD, Mystic Force, Overdrive, Jungle Fury, RPM, then Samurai.
So SPD's next?
No.
What's next?
After Lost Galaxy?
Yeah.
Lightspeed Rescue.
Oh, God.
No, Lightspeed Rescue is pretty good.
All right.
Looking forward to the Lost Galaxy discussion, though personally I'm counting the episodes until SPD and RPM discussions. I can't friggin' wait to discuss those. Keep up the more phenomenal work. So thank you to Chaotix, and Chaotix will have his own thoughts on Lost Galaxy at the end of the podcast as well. We also have new, more positive iTunes reviews from people. My buddy Super Tim Costello, on January 7th, 2012, go to Power Rangers Podcast. Love the podcast. I love the banter between the hosts, and it's very funny. One of my favorite segments is the Sentai segment, where we learn the Sentai with the accompanying Power Rangers series. Always informative. This podcast always makes me nostalgic for the good old days when I watched Power Rangers all the time. So thank you for that, Tim. The second one is from Sasuke2099. Don't know who that is. Tim's review was these are all 5-star reviews. Basically says, best Power Rangers podcast I have found. Listening to Scotty and TFG and Mike transports me back to my childhood. Keep it up, guys, and don't let the haters bug you. And the final one is from 6, SYXXX. TFG and Mike and Scotty Cash bring down the house. I love this podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Don't let the haters bug you. Guys are great. Just a tidbit, some FYI, Serena Vincent, who played Maya, the Yellow Lost Galaxy Ranger, also the same girl who played the nude foreign exchange girl in Not Another Teen Movie. Keep up the good work. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch Not Another Teen Movie.
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's been about a month since you and I talked. What have you been up to really quickly before we actually get into the show?
Not really nothing, you know, to be honest with you. Been, nothing. Sports, that's about it. I've been playing basketball, trying to get into shape. I got some stuff coming up that I need to be in shape for, so
5K run?
Something like that. Something like that. Maybe I'll have an announcement next month.
All right, cool. So we are going to get into the Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, buddy. We'll be right back.
right, ladies and gentlemen. So Lost Galaxy, technically it's the fifth series overall. I absolutely love, I love this show watching it when it came out. It was very unique, very interesting. I put on my personal Facebook fan page, TFG and Mike on Facebook. I basically said at the time, I had said, In Space reminded me of Star Trek The Next Generation because of they're on the megaship and it kind of looks like the Enterprise bridges a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Lost Galaxy was kind of like Deep Space Nine because Deep Space Nine was, they were out, they weren't like really near anything, like they weren't near Earth or anything like that. They were out in the middle of nowhere in space.
It was like a floating Atlantis.
Yes, yes, exactly. I am going to read some of this verbatim because I want to make sure I get it right. Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, as I said, the fifth television series and seventh season of the Power Rangers franchise that aired in 1999, featured familiar elements from previous incarnations and is based on the Japanese Super Sentai television series Senju Sentai Gingaman? I don't know. It's a gingerbread man.
Gingerman.
Yeah.
Gingerman.
Like its predecessor, the original theme of Sentai Source, i.e. the forest, was not used. This is the first Power Rangers series to not be a continuation of the previous series with its own new cast and story, with the annual suit change that began with Power Rangers Zeo, and the annual cast and story change starting with this series and the first series to follow the practice set by Super Sentai series. However, Zordon is believed to be the source of the Galaxy Power Rangers' powers, in addition to Paul Scherer and Jack Banning reprising their roles as Bulk and Professor Phenomenus, respectively. Alpha 6 and the Astro Megaship were used again, and Melody Perkins reprised her role as Corone 3/4 of the way through the series, and became the Pink Ranger. Originally, Cassie Chan was supposed to absorb the Pink Lost Galaxy Ranger powers, but actress Patricia Jolly decided to quit after a dispute with the show's producers. This is also the first season to have sentient Zords and feature the death of a Power Ranger in battle, though Kendrix would obviously be revived in the finale. Thus, the Lost Galaxy season serves as something of a transitional series and also a unique one in Power Rangers history. It is neither a completely self-contained nor direct continuation, but a bit of both. The seasons would not begin to have a completely independent stories until the following series, Lightspeed Rescue. Season's main villain Trakina, played by Amy Miller, has also been praised for the character's dark development, more unique for Power Rangers. One of the things that I am so glad this never happened, according to trademark documents, the original title for the series was slated to be Power Rangers Space Jungle. Lost Jesus. Galaxy sounds so much better.
Space Jungle, huh?
Yeah.
Who dropped the ball on that one?
Well, that's what it was originally supposed to be, and then I guess
yeah. But who even would even come up with that? Like, you know what would be awesome if we did Space Jungle? No, and you're fired.
Yes, exactly. So as we're going forward, starting with last episode and now this episode, Scotty and I really don't have. I have memories of watching the show as a 19-year-old emo kid, but. I don't think we were really watching Power Rangers at 19 anymore. I remember watching it here and there, but I did not actively watch the series.
I've never seen an episode of Lost Galaxy
until this.
I can be completely honest.
Yeah. Power Rangers is kind of a guilty pleasure for me, at least going forward from In Space to whatever the new seasons are, because I've just always been like, they usually make an announcement every February. Hey, new Power Rangers series coming up in February or whatever else. So,
yep.
any general thoughts on Lost Galaxy for you?
Absolutely. I'm not going to say that it was as good as In Space. Okay. But it was definitely a good season. It's 10 times better than Turbo, and I think if Lost Galaxy would have been before In Space, I would have liked it even more. But In Space was so complete that it's hard to to judge this equally, because they had a lot of standalone episodes. You know what I mean?
They did. Yeah.
And In Space was like one giant continuous story with only a few standalone episodes. And even on those standalone episodes, they still
it tied into the story.
Yeah, they still touched on a bunch of stuff. And although Lost Galaxy, the standalone episodes, you know, they weren't terrible, and there was a couple really good ones, but it's like they did have a lot of standalone episodes. Now, there was a couple things that I absolutely loved, and then there was one thing that I hate with a passion, and I'll get to that in a second. The stuff that I loved was the Zords, the Lost Galaxy, the Galactic Beast Zords. Right. I loved how they were actually like real beasts and then turned into robot form or whatever, you know, mechanical form, and then they transferred into a Megazord. I liked that. I was sad that the Condor was not a dragon, because the first time I seen it, I was like, that's a badass.
New Dragon
that's
Zord.
A dragon. That is awesome. And then they're like, Condor, and I was like, what? That's a big old silly bird. But you know, the gorilla's awesome. The wolf, the wildcat, you know what I mean? Those are really nice. You know, the spaceships I could probably do without. Of course, everybody knows I'm not a spaceship Zord kind of guy. Mm. But the other thing I loved and I thought was so awesome is when Corone came back as Astronema trying to get that saber. Yep. And I was like, that is awesome. And then she became the new Ranger.
Pink Ranger, yeah.
Yeah, the new Pink Ranger, which I absolutely loved. Now, the thing I hate is the way they run. I cannot stand the way they run. It is so stupid.
It is dumb.
It doesn't make them run any faster. In fact, it makes them look like they slow down. And even when they're running for like 10 feet, they still do that stupid claw hand behind your back. It almost reminds me of the way Mario used to run and like
Super
Nintendo with his hand out.
Yeah.
I'm just like, stop it. You know what I mean?
That was bad. That was very, very bad.
My thoughts on the Magna Defender was I was really looking forward to the Magna Defender. I thought, again, they kind of dropped the ball on how they brought him in. I like the story, how they did it, but there was just it's not epic. Like when Tommy became the Green Ranger, it was crazy epic. When Tommy became the White Ranger, it was just like, it was extreme. You know, I mean, he had his own song, his own Zord. It was crazy. It's like, you know, oh, hey, look, you're the Magna Defender, just like that. And it's just like, I don't know. I thought they did a better job of making Corone the new Pink Ranger with her coming out just like a badass, kicking ass, you know, just, you know, taking people on. And it's like the Magna Defender just got like that. He's got that lame space shotgun thingy.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with the Magna Defender is he just shows up. And then, you know, he just shows up. He's Mr. Oh, I'm going to brood. I'm going to be a Brandon Routh Superman and brood and be stalky and all this and all that. And they show the story of him losing his son so many freaking times.
Yes.
We get it. Scorpius killed your kid. We get it, okay? We feel sorry for you. What I really liked about the Magna Defender storyline is the fact that Mike didn't die.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's what I liked about the Magna Defender storyline, that the Magna Defender finally came to realize that revenge wasn't what he was all what his powers and what he was supposed to be about. He was supposed to be about, you know, learning to accept and become a hero, and then passing those powers onto Mike, and then Mike being essentially the Sixth Ranger. That's what I liked about it. But I will agree. I mean, his introduction was so lame.
Yeah, and like I said, his story's awesome.
Yeah, you
know?
It is.
And even though they showed his son dying 150 times, I don't know. And I kind of think that if, you know, and I know it's just a Power Ranger story. I get that. But if somebody would have killed my kid, I would be a little bit more upset. All right. I'm just saying it. But, you know, he finally gets his revenge or whatever. But, you know, I do love his Zord. I do like how he grew and then went into the Zord to control it when it stood up. You know, I did like that. I know we're not talking about Zords yet, but I'm just saying.
No, I know. No, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I mean,
you and
know,
I loved his costume, and I did like his shotgun. I did like his sword. I did like everything about him. I just wish they would have brought him on. I wish all five of the Rangers would have been hurt. They would have been beaten up. They didn't have any other chance. And the real Magna Defender then came to conclusion that he just couldn't do it anymore, and then gave his powers to Mike, and Mike took over and came back and whooped him. Instead, it was like, hey, look, this new awesome Sixth Ranger is just a normalized Ranger, and the Red Ranger is still the best Ranger.
Yeah. The one thing... Well, see, here's the thing, and here's where the story, and here's where this series not only gets dark, but the thing is, Mike was the one that pulled out the Red Ranger saber.
Yeah.
And then he fell into the crevice. And then Leo, you know, he passed his saber on to Leo, and Leo learned and this, that, and the other thing, everything else. And then the Magna Defender thing happened. So, I mean, there is that. And Leo, you know, thinks throughout, you know, most of the series, he was, hey, I'm the substitute. You know, these were intended for Mike. But Mike, at that point, when that happened, he has the Magna Defender powers, and he's like, Leo, no, I passed it on to you. You are worthy. And Leo is a hero in his own right because, well, besides the fact that he's a stowaway, you know, he is.
He's trespassed a little bit. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. He didn't steal anything.
But I never ever got how they made a big deal out of only the five chosen, you know, people can yank out these swords. But he didn't yank out the sword, so how is he the chosen one? Is it just are they just saying like destiny is more powerful than the chosen one because that's what was planned?
Possibly, you know,
because the old guy tells the story of the five people that will pull out these sabers and defeat all the evil, and it's like, hey, look, five people, and then one of them gave the sword away.
Right, but you also have to think of the Power Rangers history as far as there being six Rangers.
Yeah,
you know. Mike fell into a crevice. He passed his sword on to Leo. Leo became the leader. Leo, you know, didn't really... He fell into the role, but he stepped up to the role of being the leader of the Power Rangers. Mike came back, and Mike assumed the Magna Defender powers, the powers of honor, and this, that, and the other thing. So, I mean, it is a little nitpick, and I don't quite mind it, but, I mean, you are right. It doesn't really make that much sense. You want to know something that doesn't really make any more sense? I forgot to bring this up earlier.
What's that?
Is that Lost Galaxy went through a great amount of rewriting, most notably more information surrounding the title, which really didn't have much to do with the Rangers. According to some of the show's writers, Mirinoi was going to be located in the Lost Galaxy, Zordon was going to be responsible for creating the Rangers' powers, as I said before, and the Magna Defender powers were going to be linked closer with the Quasar Sabers. The romance of the Red and Pink Rangers, Leo and Kendrix, were going to develop more and be more important to the story, but due to Valerie Vernon's leukemia and departure from the show, the story arcs were scrapped.
So that's Kendrix, right? She got leukemia?
Yeah. Yeah, Valerie Vernon, she has since gotten over it. She's better, and she's actually retired from acting at this point now. The reason why Kendrix died on the show was because Valerie left the show because she had gotten leukemia, and she had left to go for treatment. My problem with Caron being the new Pink Ranger is that the writers couldn't decide which of the guys that she was going to quote-unquote be romantically linked with. There was an episode where she and Damon had a huge storyline where you know, she was encouraging him to go for this job. She was hanging off his arm like she was his girlfriend. And then she and Leo had an episode where they go find the triangle to get Leo's battleizer thing. And they made that seem like that those two were going to get together. I mean, they basically treated Caron like a hoe in this series.
Yeah. We had a name for those people in high school. Those are called sluts.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
What I absolutely love is the fact that they brought in It's not a direct, as I said before, it's not a direct separate series and it's not a direct continuation, but I love the fact that they brought in the mega ship and they had Alpha still there, they had Deka still there, and they had this mechanic named Damon, and I thought that was a really cool aspect of it. The one thing that pisses me off about Lost Galaxy
is the way they run. I agree.
Okay. Besides the way they run, as far as the storyline, what really makes me mad about the series, have you ever seen Titan A.E.?
No.
It's an animated movie.
What it is. I've just never seen it. I always meant to also.
Okay. Well, the point of that is the Earth gets blown up and the humans have to go find a new world. Lost Galaxy, the Earth doesn't get blown up, but they're going to find a new world anyway. Seriously?
Yeah.
We haven't even now in 2012, we haven't even, you know, broken the depths of what space exploration can be done. You know, and they're actively and voluntarily leaving to go find a new world when they have one that they've already pretty much destroyed anyway.
Right.
That was one thing, you know, on the rewatch, when I rewatched all these episodes, that was the one thing that really bugged me, was why are they creating this entire space colony to go find a new world? I mean, I can kind of get it because you don't just want to have the same city battles on, you know, in some strange city on Earth and whatever else, because we've had that for the last 5 or 6 seasons. So I kind of get that. But that was just one little plot point that kind of bugged me, that they actively volunteered to leave their home planet to go find a new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, Trakeena was going to blow the Earth up.
They just wanted a new beginning, dude.
Yeah, I guess. Do you have a favorite Ranger?
I'm sure Leo by far.
Okay.
I'd say Damon. Damon's probably my second favorite. I really liked his storyline. It was kind of funny, though, how jacked he is, because they try to cover it up with that green, like, mechanic suit. But anytime you could see his arms, he was as big as a house. That dude is jacked.
Yeah.
And they had to cover it up as best they could so Leo didn't look like a woman. Because Leo was pretty strong, too. He was pretty toned, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they all still ran like...
Yes, they did.
Dude, I promise you, every time they ran, I rolled my eyes or shook my head. I was just like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Stop that. Thank God the Magni Defender didn't run like that.
Yeah. I know this is bad, and for anyone who is... I'm not going to curse here, but this is kind of adult humor. Every time I saw Maya with Kendricks or with Corona, I'm like, just hurry up and start making out already.
Right. What is it? What did McMahon used to call it? HLA? Hot lesbian action or whatever he used to call it. Yeah, they were just best friends, dude.
Yeah. Getting into the villains, Trakeena is really the main villain of the series. Scorpius, I hated Scorpius.
Yeah.
Scorpius was useless to me. I mean,
what was her dad's name?
Scorpius.
Scorpius? What was the guy's name that had the 9 lives or whatever?
That was last year. That was not DVI. That was oh god.
Was last season? Who's the one that wanted to get into the chamber, the cocoon?
Oh, that's DVI. Darkonda was the one that had 9 lives, but that was last season.
All right, well,
Deviat was the one that wanted to get it. Deviat is basically a Machine Empire reject. Well, that's what he looks like to me, because he looks like some of the Machine Empire villains did. I'm not saying he's from the Machine Empire. He's not. But Deviat was the one that wanted to overthrow Scorpius and get in the cocoon and all that stuff.
Right. And I liked him. But yeah, I agree that Tarkina's dad was, I would be unscared of that slob thing that just sat on a brick.
Yeah. I mean, he's a scorpion on a rock. I mean, that's all it is. It's like,
I'm just not very scared of you. I feel bad for you.
And I don't like the whole, I I don't do insects. I'm not a fan of insects at all. So this entire season dealing with them. I mean, Trakina, when she's not in her insect forms, she's hot. Uh-huh. But the whole insect vibe, stingwingers, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have the Z-putties over the stingwingers.
Oh, geez. I didn't really like when they used the Lights of Orion also. I liked their outfits without it. I didn't like it on the Galaxy Megazord. I just kind of wish they would. I didn't hate it. I just kind of wish they would have stayed away from it. That was another thing that I
on the Galaxy Megazord, but the Lights of Orion to me on them, they're basically all Lionos if you look at them because they have a sword and they have a claw.
Yeah.
Basically all Thundercat Lion-O.
Well, the only thing I kind of wish too was like they made a huge deal out of these Lights of Orion, and they should have been a lot better than, or a lot stronger than that, or they should have saved them more towards the end, and made them like, you know, they should have the Lights of Orion instead of that stupid ridiculous giant machine gun thingy that Leo got at the end.
I thought the Battleizer was okay.
No, God no.
It was okay. I mean, it wasn't like horrible. I mean,
oh, it was horrible. You could, how are you gonna walk it?
It looks horrible, but the powerful effect of it was all right. Okay. The look of it was horrible. I will admit to that, but just the powerful effect that it had. And even so, though, I mean, you still have the same old progression of, oh, kill small monster with this weapon, kill small monster with this bigger weapon. The monster's still gonna friggin' grow. Right. And you're still going to have to bring out the Galactabeasts and everything else. The thing I didn't like about the monsters in this series, some of them actually drank a potion to get bigger. There was no missiles. There was no torpedoes. There was no dino regeneration, which we'll get to that later down the line here in, from the Command Center of the podcast. You know, they just drank a potion. And I'm like, really? You're just going to sit there and drink a vial of green ooze?
Oh. I gotta do that here in a couple weeks and get my body checked out. Hopefully I don't grow like that though. That'd be doctor through be kind of confused.
In smaller doses through future mutants. Oh my god. I did like Kegler. He was the little one that came with Villamax.
Yeah, he was cool.
He was cool. He reminds me of a more competent Squat and Babu. Like, if you combine Squat and Babu and actually give them intelligence, that's what he kind of reminded me of. I liked Villamax because it's an honorable villain. He's loyal to Trakina to the end, but when he sees her going off the deep end, he's like, no, I cannot be a part of this. And, of course, she destroys him, sadly.
Yeah, Villamax was cool.
Yeah, although, you know, his helmet, he's basically Judge Dredd.
That's the first thing I thought to when I seen him. No doubt about it.
I am the law.
I don't think I had any other, like, favorite bad guys. I mean, this season was just kind of like, bleh, on the bad guys.
I like Trakina when she's not in her full insect form.
Oh yeah, that was just stupid. I don't know. I didn't like that.
Disgusting. It was gross and disgusting. I like her overall. I like the actor. I like Amy Miller, the actress that played her. I thought she played her very well.
Yeah, she did good.
And the fact that she, you know, and what it was so stupid. I like the fact that Villamax trained her, but as he's training her, each time that she's not doing well, she's like, you broke my nail. You got 9 more to go.
Right.
You know, it's like, really, you're going to go that route of being that girly of a princess when you're supposed to be this huge, big-ass villain, and she becomes that eventually, but...
That was his character development. That's why they did that.
I know, yeah.
I liked when she went to the bar. She kicked the crap out of that dude after she got her powers back.
Yeah, that was funny. That was great.
You know what that reminded me of was Superman 2.
Oh God! Yes,
where he gives his powers up and he goes and he goes and that guy beats him up and then he's like, oh, "Excuse me, sir, I believe you're sitting in my seat," and then kicks the crap out of him.
Yeah. Getting into the arsenal, we start out with the Transmorphers. Well, all right. I guess we can talk about these and talk about the morphing sequence as well, and the fact that the Lost Galaxy Rangers are essentially Charlie Brown's.
Oh, yeah. I do like their outfits. I really do.
I like their outfits. I love their helmets, though. Their helmets are really what I really liked about them. The Transmorphers are what give them their powers. And I like the morphing sequence in this. And I like how they do go through, like, the first 10 or 12 episodes, they go through individual morphing sequences, and then later they start doing the just straight, you know, go Galactic, and they don't even go through the actual sequence. They just, you know, they're just
morphed. Totally agree.
And then sometimes as the series progresses, they'll do the four-panel morph on the screen where four of them will morph at the same time, whereas in some other series that are currently airing, they started doing that crap at the second friggin' episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the Transmorphers, you got the Magna Defender Morpher. I liked it. I liked the Magna Defender powers, but I don't know. The Magna Defender Morpher didn't really do anything for me. Morphers in general don't really. I mean, past MMPR. The morphers don't do it. Like, the sequence is great. I love the sequences, but the morphers themselves, I don't care.
I like the in space morphers. Those things are nice.
Yeah.
How you typed in Mega or whatever. But yeah, these are very, very plain, and you can't really do a lot with something so plain. You know what I mean? You can't get into it. You know, but for the toys though, they still sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So does the Magna Defender Morpher too.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. It's kind of goofy, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And then, of course, all five Rangers are King Arthur. The Quasar Sabers, let us pull these swords from this stone.
Yeah. I like the Quasar Saber a lot.
I love the Quasar Saber because it is different. It's not something we normally would get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, normally you get a gun or, you know, normally just the Red Ranger has a sword and the other ones have a bow or Psy or nunchucks or, you know, something like that. So I do like the Quasar Sabers. The Trans Daggers were a little weird.
Yeah, they were kind of soft.
I mean, in battle as a Ranger, you really, you know, unless you lose your Quasar Saber in battle, I guess that's a good backup for close combat. But
yeah,
especially with the way they ran with the swords and the daggers, and that's what really, like, them running by themselves with nothing in their hands is dumb. But when they're running with the weapons, that's even worse.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. It's terrible the way they run it all together. Is just god awful.
Yeah,
I was so happy when they got bikes. You know what? I changed my mind. I like that racing episode.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that bad guy's name?
Oh man. Crap. I forget. Okay. I know what you're talking about though. The other thing that I liked was the
Odor Mantis.
Odor Mantis. There we go.
Hell yeah. What was the other thing you liked?
They made such a great deal out of the Lights of Orion, and all as it is all five Rangers combining into a giant ball of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Great balls of fire! We're gonna blow up this monster!
Mm-hmm.
There's Jerry Lee Lewis when you really need him. And the other thing was, at the beginning they said, all five Rangers need to be present for the lights to work. There was an episode where Leo was off somewhere and the lights still friggin' worked.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Because I thought there was even an episode where they're like, you know, you need to get there so the Lights of Orion will work.
Yes, there was that episode that I'm pretty sure later on there was an episode where four of them used the lights at one point.
You could be right, and I just didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't even realize
it. I don't remember. I've watched, over the last 2 weeks, I've watched all 45 episodes straight through, and they're all blurring together at this point. So maybe Chaotix or any of the listeners that want to write in and let us know whether we are right or wrong, I say that there was an episode, I don't remember what the episode was, but there was an episode where at one point 4 out of the 5 Rangers used the lights of Orion.
That could be.
The Battleizer was ugly, but the power was kind of cool. I like the jet jammers. I like the jet jammers a lot better than the Astro boards that the In-Space Rangers had.
You know, the jet jammers remind me of Mario Kart. Because they're kind of small, and you're kind of like a big guy in the jet jammer. So it kind of reminds me of like the Mario and Luigi in their go-karts.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were neat. They came in handy.
The Astro Cycles, to me, are just another version of a PR motorcycle that has, you know, just a different version. I've never liked motorcycles in Power Rangers. I just don't care enough for them.
I think they use them for filler episodes, plus they can sell the toys, and you know, it's no secret that, you know, they're obviously making these episodes because, you know, for fans and everything, but they obviously want to make money too, so.
Right. Getting into the Zords, the Galacta Beasts.
Well, what about the red cap, Capsular style, or the cycle, whatever, where it turned into the lion?
It reminded me of what Tommy had with the red wheel that he used.
Oh.
That's what it reminded me of. So
The
Zords, I like that they're organic. I like that they are the first sentient Zords that we have. Sometimes I wish that they wouldn't have transformed them and they would have just stayed their Galactabeast style and not turned into actual, like, I want to see a non-robot version of the Galactabeast Megazord where it's more organic rather than the robot versions.
That would just be weird looking.
I think it would be kind of cool looking just to see it once. I mean, of course it has to be, you know, it has to go off the Sentai footage, but I just find it weird that every single time it's like, oh, we got a Zord transform. The Torazord was cool.
The Lost Galactic Beast, they had the
Centaurus and Stratoforce and Zenith Carrier Zord.
The Rhino, the Phoenix, and the Shark.
Yep. And they were all... Because all of these Zords are sentient. Yeah, and so that's the other thing that kind of was weird to me in the finale. The Megazord showed up at the end, but no one was piloting it because these Galactabeasts are sentient. So, almost you not even need the 5 Power Rangers. Just have the Zords fight the villains.
That's very true.
God, yeah. It reminds me of that crappy movie Stealth.
Don't even know what that is.
Stealth was a movie in 2003 where it was about this AI drone versus pilots actually piloting planes.
Oh. Never even heard of it.
Yeah. Let's see what's next down the line here. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I liked all the Zords. I liked all the different... I liked how they had actual different Zords this time.
How they didn't all combine to have one giant Zord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's nice, and sometimes that's cool. And then sometimes it's overdone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you combine the Zenith, the Stratoforce, and the Centaurus, that into the actual Galaxy Megazord, that would look dumb.
Yes.
I don't know how that they would... I don't know how they would get that to do that. So we are now. I know this is probably a painful process for Spada because he said that the Sentai for this really sucked. So we are going to head to Spada and we'll be back after his thoughts on the Sentai version of Lost Galaxy.
Hey gang, Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and this time we are talking about Seiju Sentai Gingaman. Airing from February 22nd, 1998 to February 14th, 1999, this was Toei's 22nd entry into the Super Sentai series and is widely considered one of the absolute worst entries into the franchise. We will get into those reasons in a little bit, but first we need to figure out what this show was all about. 3,000 years ago, the Baroban space pirates invaded Earth and lived atop the stellar beast Daitanakusu. The great beast was hungry and started sucking the very energy out of the stars. the good Star Beasts and the warriors of the Ginga Forest defeated and sealed the Baruban at the bottom of the deepest part of Earth's oceans. In order to guard against the return of the pirates, the Ginga concealed and hid their forest from the world in order to watch over it and protect it. 133 generations later, 5 Gingans were chosen as the warriors who would wield the Seijunken swords and defend the planet. During the ceremony of succession for the Seijunken blades, a massive earthquake broke the seal that contained the Baruban. The 5 warriors were then sent to retrieve the Ginga bracelets, but were attacked by the Baruban. During the fight, one of the 5 chosen sacrificed himself in order to save his younger brother from falling into a giant crevasse created by Captain Zahabu, who was the leader of the Baruban. That younger brother, Ryoma, took his elder brother's blade and, using the sword, summoned the Ginga bracelets, enabling him to transform into Ginga Red. If this introduction sounds a little familiar, that's because it's exactly the same as Jetman and Five Man before it. The initial loss of a family member at the beginning of a Super Sentai series has been used as a way to give the Red Ranger a personal reason to fight against the villains. You know, because the villains trying to destroy or take over the world wasn't a good enough reason. Also, the ancient sealed away evil thingy is a tried and true method that has been used in Super Sentai since the very beginning. Speaking of the villains, the only motivation they show throughout the entire series is looking for a power source with enough juice to awaken Daitanakusu. It's pretty much a giant, star-devouring, Godzilla-like monster that the pirates built their headquarters on. That's it. Nothing else. They do nothing else throughout the entire series. This is a very rare case where the Power Rangers adaptation has the villains being vastly more interesting than the source material. Trakina and Scorpius are worlds better than the villains in this show. Captain Zaihabu and his bikini-clad second-in-command, Shelinda, yes, her name is Shelinda, that's the exact phonetic spelling, do nothing. They just act moderately evil. And that's it. Speaking of the Power Rangers show that was adapted from Ginga Man, the concept that an entire people were turned to stone is actually carried over from Ginga Man. But the reason is completely different. In Lost Galaxy, the villains turned Maya's tribe into stone. In Ginga Man, the Gingans, voluntarily turn themselves to stone into order to prevent the Baruban from stealing the magical energies of their forest. Thankfully, one thing that was not carried over from Ginga Man to Lost Galaxy, was the use of horses by the Power Rangers. That's right, in Ginga Man, each ranger had their very own signature horse that was dressed up to resemble their token Star Beast. If you look at the pictures that are all over the net, it looks absolutely ridiculous. Nothing much else was different between the shows other than, you know, the basic plot and the characters, which is to be expected. Both shows use the same costumes, zords, armaments, etc. Heck, even the idea of the Red Ranger's older brother falling into the Earth only to appear later as the Sixth Ranger was carried over. That's right. Remember the original Gingan warrior mentioned earlier? Yep. He comes back as Bull Black. Bull Black is what we know in the U.S. as the Magna Defender. And the plot of the original Bull Black is exactly the same as his Power Ranger counterpart. To the letter. It's really kind of disturbing to see how similar the two are. But I understand why. There's not really much they could do. They had to explain the Magna Defender somehow, and this was the best way. In Japan, Ginga Man was not well-liked at all. Fans complained that the Rangers' costumes were bland and unimaginative, while the villains' costumes were gross and unappealing to look at. Also, a lot of fans argued that the main human villain looked more like an ugly prostitute and really had no reason for being in the show at all. She was just there. Also, the Rangers themselves were horribly cast, as none of the actors could convey even the most basic of emotions. Not to mention that each had a very little in the personality department. There's a reason why this show is considered the worst acted show of all time. On top of that, the entire show was poorly written, with no direction or plot to move the episodes forward. In some examples, a monster would just show up for no reason whatsoever. He would just, you know, show up. Another major complaint was with the Star Beasts themselves. While in beast forms, they have been described as Muppet rejects, and their animations were pathetic at best. Now, you have to remember, this is the country where Godzilla and Ultraman have been airing for decades. If the production staff couldn't have done the organic Star Beasts well, then they shouldn't have done them at all. Yet another complaint was levied against the show was that the Megazords, or the robot forms, all appear cheap on screen. And we can actually see a little bit of this in the Lost Galaxy footage. There seems to be a lot less of the robot part and a lot more of that weird rubber that is connecting the different components. The last thing one should take away from Giga Man is that the music and the audio editing of this show was atrocious. When the show was originally broadcast, there were massive issues with the audio quality in each episode, and the problems were different in every episode. One week it would be the audio didn't match what was going on screen, another week would have complete missing of audio cues and sound effects, and then the third week it would be something completely different. That continued pretty much on straight through the series and only really got cleaned up towards the last 10 to 15 episodes. Needless to say, Seiju Sentai Gingaman was not well liked at all. In fact, it was so hated that this series held the dubious honor of being the only series that was almost pulled from the air. To this day, many hail this show as their least favorite Sentai. I personally would much rather watch Lost Galaxy and forget that this thing ever existed. So, I've been Spade of the Bolt Matrix. If you'd like to hear more from me, check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/BoltMatrix. Or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BoltMatrix. Now back to Mike at the Command Center.
Alright, thank you again, Spada. Sorry you had to go through that horrible, horrible Sentai.
He loved it.
Yeah, right. So now we're going to talk about the Galaxy episodes. I tried to just keep to the in-continuity ones, but I did watch all 45 episodes. Normally when I would get to a one-off episode, I would actually skip through it on Netflix. I would, like, skip scenes because I'm more continuity-driven at this point, and I want an actual story.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I loved the Quasar Quest because obviously it's the introduction. The Lights of Orion Saga, I like that. Let's see, Lost Galactic Beast two-parter, that was good. Memories of Mirnoi was good, but it was so obvious that that chick was a villain.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so obvious. Because everyone on Mirnoi got turned to stone, well, duh. And then they tried to make the story up of, oh, how she escaped, That's so stupid.
I liked Mean Wheels Mantis was by far my favorite standalone episode. The Power of Pink was good. An Evil Game was good. Which one is the one where he got pissed and tore off his shirt? It was pretty late. I want to say it's like...
You're talking about Leo, right?
Yeah, Leo. Yeah, where he snaps off. I think it's... When did he get the... When did he lose his power or whatever? His morpher got burnt and he had to go get the...
Oh, that was Facing the Past is when, okay. Yeah. But it was so... No. There was one scene where he does rip his shirt off, but then he morphs right after that.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Hulkamaniac! And then let me morph and cover up my bare chest. That made no sense. We have to talk about, because I think this is the first episode or first series to do a crossover to the past, to the 10th power, was where the Space Rangers came in.
Which was awesome.
Which was awesome. Power of Pink was where Caron came back, and then Protect the Quasar Saber and Facing the Past was all Caron episodes. I love those. Enter the Lost Galaxy. I liked them entering the Lost Galaxy. I liked Trakeena not being the villain, but at the same time, I hated the pirate villains. They were just so stupid.
Oh, yes. He was a giant Titanic.
Yeah, it was so friggin' stupid.
Yeah, super lame.
I liked, although compared to the Stingwingers, I liked the pirates' putty, you know, their
You know what they soldiers. Super reminded me of?
What?
Cartman. Like his yeah. face and like the way his hat is or whatever, just like, yeah. It just really reminded me of Cartman. Every time I looked at his, like his big white face, those big eyes and that hat, I was just kind of like, I can't even take you seriously.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. And then Escape the Lost Galaxy was great. And then the Journey's End three-parter was just amazing.
Yep. Yes.
They are really, with these new seasons that we're going to be getting into throughout the show, they're really amping up the stories because they have to be self-contained. They're not relying on continuity of, oh, wonder if we're going to get another season and this, that, and the other thing. And I love how they start off with the two-parter of the Quasar Quest and they end with Journey's End. And what's so ironic about Quasar Quest and Journey's End, they left Mirinoi, they came back to Mirinoi.
Yeah. I don't think I would want to stay on a place called Mirinoi.
Just call it, well, could be called Planet Bob.
That'll work. Planet Bob it is. I liked the, I hated the episode that Damon tried out for the mechanics job and got the job, or that other guy stole his idea, and then he was like, Caron was like, hey, that's, and he stepped on her foot. I'd have been like, no, you stole my idea. You're a jerk.
Yeah, I didn't like that episode either. That
made me mad. I was like, why would you do that? And then he gave him the job anyway. He's like, no, I think you deserve the job. I'm like, How do you figure he deserves the job when he stole your idea and then lied about it? But whatever.
Well, to be fair, when the kid said, you know, I'm sorry, I cheated, blah, 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 you deserve the job. And then Damon finds out what the job actually is. Basically, instead of fixing the ships or fixing stuff on Terra Vinja, he's a paper pusher. And that's when he says, hey, no. The original kid that cheated, even though he cheated, he still admitted to it. He's the man for the job because Damon did not want to be a paper pusher.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting into the music, I like the theme song. I think I like the instrumental version a little bit better than the one with the actual lyrics. It's good for like one listen through, like good for listening to the theme song once, but after hearing it 45 times, I'm sick of it.
Yeah. I'll probably disagree. So far, so far I love all the theme songs and I can listen to them over and over. And I like Lost Galaxy a lot. I don't have it on my workout iPod, but I do have like Zeo. I do have In Space. I do obviously have, you know, Mighty Morph Power Rangers, Green Ranger song, White Ranger song, some of the other songs, but I don't think it's good enough to put on an iPod. So it's good. It's just not great like the other ones.
Right. And I am going to put, obviously in the beginning of the episode, people would have heard the actual theme song with the lyrics. I'm also going to put in the instrumental version, which it's the theme song. It just doesn't have the lyrics because I like the music of it. I just, after watching it so many times, I don't like hearing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably put that in when we go to break or something like that. Getting into the reception and the legacy and all that stuff. It is on Netflix streaming, so that's pretty much where you guys can see it. They might have had like a single disc or a double disc DVD with maybe 10 or 12 episodes, but I mean, all PR seasons are on Netflix now, so that's pretty much what I'll pimp out.
Which is absolutely amazing, by the way.
Yes.
It makes this way easier.
Oh yeah, we've said that every episode. Having all the PRs, all the past PR seasons on Netflix, and even Samurai's on there now, having all of them on Netflix makes it so much easier than having to hunt down YouTube videos of them,
Yes.
or having to find DVDs that may only have one or two or ten or, batch of ten here or there. As far as the toys, you actually, on your award-winning video series from the Command Center, you actually reviewed the Galaxy Megazord on
Yep, I
episode
sure did.
33.
I figured that it would be perfect for 'cause we're obviously going to do this podcast, and I seen it and I was like, those are awesome. I got to have it, even if it is a condor and not a dragon. So I hunted it down on the Ranger board, and he shipped it to me, and I got it just in time for that episode. So I actually really, really like that Megazord. I really do.
It is an awesome toy.
Yes, it absolutely is awesome. He sent me the box. Well, he didn't send it to me. I paid for it, obviously, but I got the box and all that stuff too that I probably could have showed off, because I really do like boxes and box art. But
Yeah.
all it is a picture of the toy Megazord.
Oh, yeah.
But while we're talking about toys, real quick, for those of you that do collect toys or samurai figures, and don't know this, there is a new Megazord out, and it's excuse me, it is the Bull Zord. So be looking for Power Rangers Samurai to be showing off this Bull Zord very quickly. There's also a new Super Samurai belt, a new Super Samurai spin sword, obviously the Black Morpher. So all that stuff should be, on your local toy shelves. I'm trying to actually hunt down the Bull Zord, because next month, like I said, I'm going to do Samurai Rangers or Zords, because there's a bunch of them that I haven't shown off yet, like the Claw Zord, which is absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
So,
Awesome.
yes.
All right. With that, we're going to go to a break. You're going to hear some ads and some other PR goodness, and we'll be back after this.
This is Karen Ashley, and you're listening to From the Command Center.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past, or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. Coming April 10th, 2012, the Geekcast Radio Network launches Masked Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFGO and Mike. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Masked Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Are you a fan of gaming? Then check out GCRN's first ever gaming podcast, Extreme Retro Gaming. It's your one-stop shop for emulation, retro, and modern gaming. Hear talk on your favorite games from classic consoles of the current day. The show will feature one-shots on a single game every single episode. So stay tuned in for Extreme Retro Gaming, only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Do 2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Your loyalty is overwhelming for a traitor.
No, I live only to serve you, Trakina.
Destroy him before I get a headache.
So there you have it, folks. Our thoughts on Lost Galaxy, and we can't go anywhere without bringing up Chaotix 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He posted a bunch of thoughts on the PCN forums, and I have cut out all those thoughts and put them into each episode. He says, Lost Galaxy was pretty good, but lacked structure, so the story is literally all over the place. That was due to production delays and the fact that the writers couldn't decide on what they wanted, where the story to go. The team up with Space Rangers is friggin' awesome, though, and results in great twist that brings familiar former villainous into Ranger's role. The original Magna Defender is also a complete badass. Magna Defender powers and the Magna Defender Zords are great, as we've said. Just his introduction just lacked.
It was just soft.
Yeah, it was just way too soft.
It just wasn't. He didn't come in to save the day. It was like, you know, if you watch wrestling, if you're a wrestling fan, and you got three on one and you're waiting for that save, it was like instead of the guy running down as fast as he can to the high point of his music, it was like he just walks to the ring.
Yeah, it's basically...
With no music.
The Magna Defender introduction is basically Santino Marella going through a skit.
Yes. Actually, I love that dude, so...
Oh, God, I can't stand Santino.
His manscape.
Oh, God.
Before we go, though...
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen it, but Samurai is going to re-air, I believe, this weekend? Or maybe it's next weekend with the Super Samurai. It's kind of like season 2 of Power Rangers Samurai, because they're going to do 2 seasons of Samurai Rangers instead of just the one, obviously, because it's already been going on for, seems like, a year and a half.
Yeah, forever.
But it's like, hey, look, here's an episode. Nah, we're going to take 3 months off.
Yeah, I've pretty much stopped watching Samurai. I will not watch Samurai again until we get to it here on the podcast, because I've completely... They fracked up so much with not showing the origin story in the very friggin' beginning. If you're going to premiere a series, you have to show an origin story. You can't just throw someone into a random episode.
I totally agree.
And the way that Netflix has it listed, because it's the way it's listed in the PR production date or air date or whatever else, it has the origin story as like the 19th and the 20th episodes. So you actually have to watch those first and then go back up to episode 1, The Team Unites, blah, 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 blah. It just, it took me out of the series, and I just don't care anymore. The toys look great. I love the Zords in the series, but as far as the story of Samurai, I don't care.
Yeah. I'm still vested, so I'll probably still watch it, even though it's not that good. On that note, before we go, I have watched all 49 episodes of Gokaiger, which is the Japanese, you know, this year's Japanese Power Rangers.
Or is that the pirate one?
Yes, and it's absolutely wonderful, dude. It's so crazy good. I've never seen
the American version. I cannot watch Japanese shows. I just can't.
And either could I until this. I never even tried, though. But and I'm probably gonna go back and watch some hit and miss, you know, ones, but this has just been amazing. Just from head to, from the get go, it's just wonderful. So
it doesn't have an English dub, does it?
No.
Yeah, if it doesn't have I've learned Shout Factory sent me a DVD review copy of Transformers the Japanese Collection, Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory. I cannot watch television in another language with subtitles. Even if I mute it, I cannot watch it because it's like I'm sitting here reading a TV show. If I want to sit here and read a TV show, I will look on Wikipedia. Thank you very much. So I will wait for the American version of Pirate Power Rangers.
Well, I
whenever it comes.
Hopefully.
No, they are going to do it. They already have said that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
What season are we at? 18?
For Samurai, yeah, I think so.
18 or 19? Well,
19, yeah.
I think they're going to do it for season 20. They've done everything but pretty much signed it up for it. So we'll get to see a lot of past Rangers. I'm sure we'll get to see Tommy again and stuff like that. But this week is episode 50, and then it will be done. Actually, am I crazy here? Or did they just have episode? No, it was episode 49. So episode 50 is soon. But the greatest power in the universe was actually the Triforce from Zelda.
God.
No joke.
That note, thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is, we don't have a show name over there. Mine is TFG and Mike. Have you joined Twitter yet?
Kinda. I don't do anything with it anymore.
Yeah.
I did it one time for like San Diego Comic-Con, and then I was just like, nah.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network, and you can also look for Pop Culture Network over there as well. You can check out PCN on YouTube, where you can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series, youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail lines. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. For GCRN, call 502-526-5821. That's pretty much the only number you need because I do all the editing for this show. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Our quest is complete. Maybe someday the next chosen warriors will free you. Until then... you'd make it here. Kendrix! You don't know how many times I wished you'd come back. I missed you.
I can't believe it.
This is incredible.
Hey, thanks for everything you've done. I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Hey, look. Looks like they're celebrating too.